Listeners, it's the goals episode, that most wonderful time of the year when we talk about the goals we set for last year and what we hope to do in the year ahead, and we know you're doing the same. There's something about that fresh calendar page, especially this year. If your plans for 2021 include finally finishing or finally starting that book you've been dreaming of, or maybe polishing it up and seeing if you can get it out into the world, we encourage you to consider working with an author accelerator trained book coach to make sure you're really putting that book's best foot forward. To use Author Accelerator's free book coach matching service, head to authoraccelerator.com. And if you've been imagining yourself as someone who could help other writers do exactly that, you need to check out Author Accelerator's book coach training program at bookcoaches.com/amwriting. A new year is a great moment to launch a side gig, and Author Accelerator can help you make yours a success.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay.
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone trying to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause. I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
I'm KJ Delantonia, and this is Hashtag Am Writing, the show about writing all the things, short things, long things, nonfiction, fiction, pitches, proposals. This is the podcast about sitting down and getting that writing work done.
I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and the upcoming, the April 6th release, The Addiction Inoculation, Raising Healthy Kids in a Culture of Dependence. And you can find my work at lots of places like Airmail, The New York Times, Washington Post, places like that.
And I'm Serena Bowen, the author of 35 romance novels. You can always find my work at the ebook seller of your choice and at serenabowen.com.
And I am KJ Delantonia, the New York Times best-selling author of The Chicken Sisters. I made a big fuss about saying that for the first time on an episode that we recorded yesterday. And, you know.
That's exciting.
This is the first time y'all will be. It is super exciting. This is the first time, however, that y'all will be hearing it, because that episode is going to go live after this one, because that's the way we do things here. In any case, I'm also the author of How to Be a Happier Parent, former lead writer and editor, that's right, of the Motherload blog at the New York Times, where I still occasionally contribute. I think we're going to drop that down to very occasionally this year. And yeah, but I'm getting ahead of myself, because this is our annual year in review / goal setting episode.
I'm so excited for this, but I do have to tell you something else I was very excited about, which is that I was interviewed by someone this week, and he's a listener to this podcast, and he was saying, where are you podcast along with KJ Delantonia and her book and the Reese's thing, and then Serena Bowen, who writes odd romance novels.
Oh, no.
And I said, oh, you've been listening long enough to hear her say the 30 odd romance novels, and now he's, I hope, not under the whatever the word is that you write odd romance novels. I don't even know what odd romance novels would look like. So.
You know what? They can be odd. That's really
fine. I think that'd be good.
I cultivate that.
I think there's a market.
Of course.
So where do we want to start? We did a mid-year review when we talked about how COVID had changed our year. But I think some of us have had sort of a resurgence at the end of the year. I think it's actually been a really,
yeah,
really good year. Who wants to go first,
well,
I guess?
I want to start by just talking a little about how we usually, what we usually do, which is to sit down at the end / beginning of the year and set goals of two types, those that are within our control and those that are not. We usually try, I have to say I've diverged from this slightly, but, if you are a writer and you're sitting down to set yourself some goals, then making sure that you have some that are within your control, which are things like, you know, finishing things and submitting things, as opposed to things that are not in your control, which are things like get an agent, find a publisher, sell this essay, get a piece published in X magazine. But even with those goals that you set that are not within your control, we like to try to make sure to set some goalposts that are within our control. So if it's your goal to break it into a new publication next year, then, you know, maybe your first step is find an editor at that publication, or, you know, analyze two or three articles that are similar to what you want to do, or, you know, write four pitches.
I would say even that I have learned this lesson the hard way, absolutely. And I wouldn't write get an agent on my goals sheet. I would write query 50 of them.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. It was funny when I was looking for my goals for the right notebook. I pulled out accidentally my 2019 one, so I have 3 years of goals in front of me, and it's just really cool. Occasionally, I know Serena keeps hers in some kind of her books in some kind of order, but it's really cool to look back and sort of look at what you did over the past couple of years and your calendar and where all the stickers are and what your goals were and did you make. I just think it's the coolest thing that we have a couple of years of these running, that we can look back at them and see where we started and where we ended up.
It is fun. So should we start with just a quick rundown of what we hoped to do this year and did and didn't do?
Sure.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay,
Serena.
I have to say that my word for last year was abundant, because I was trying to remember how good this business has been to me, even though it feels like a new struggle every day. And 2020 really brought that home, because the truth is that I didn't realize I was set up to do well during a global pandemic with my job, but I was. So when I look down here at my goals, I have really accomplished them. And that's partly because my business didn't die off. You know, if I had been goal open fourth restaurant, then yeah, we could talk. But it's partly because of the industry that I'm in, and partly because I was home all the time. And after I stopped panicking and refreshing the news sites, I got back down to business. And my most important goal was to finish four books. And one of them was not supposed to be romance. And I did that. I finished four books, and one of them was not romance. And then I had a bunch of other goals here about how I wanted to do that, like healthy habits that I wanted to adopt, and that I wanted to give more freely of time and money, and feel the abundance working for me and for others. And I did that too, right? When the unemployment numbers started to spike horribly, I went on a spree of hiring people as contractors, not as employees, but of doing projects, funding projects that I was otherwise not going to do. I made an audiobook that I was not ever going to make. I funded a translation of work that I was never going to fund. And just in that way, like, I hired extra people that I didn't know I was going to hire for little jobs anyway. And that all worked for me. You know, I recouped on those things, and I started a new little company where I'm publishing others' work. And that seems, at least at the outset, we're just rolling into the publication series season, but that seems also to have paid off the risk I took on it. So that's really what I learned about my 2020 goals, is that the riskiest parts and the abundance parts, you know, we really did well.
That's very cool. I, you know, looking back at the mid-year sort of evaluation thing, I sort of thought my year was going to fall apart, but I did better than I thought I was going to do, mainly because we talked it through and we reevaluated and we tried to stay as realistic as possible. And I think that was a really important part of the process. So my 2020 word was practice. And I think that just meant, you know, to make it a more regular practice and to figure out, you know, how to get better at the daily practice of doing this stuff. And then my goals were specifically to finish edits on my addiction inoculation manuscript by 2:28. And I did that. And then finish a new proposal by 4:15. Okay, that didn't happen. That was like mid worst part of the pandemic. All of a sudden, all of my people were in the house all the time, and all of them, even my college kid. So, yeah, that didn't happen. It's done now, but it wasn't done on time. But I believe during my mid-year discussion, I gave myself a break on that one. And then I said I wanted to complete five essays for a potential collection someday. And then mid-year, I crossed that out and wrote two, and I have a rough draft of one. So, you know, it didn't really happen, but... And then the one thing I did step up was my emails. I'm getting a little bit better. I'm still not doing them regularly, but my emailing is getting better, and more to the point, I'm learning how to do better emails. I've put some effort into sort of reading more about that. Yes, Serena?
You mean newsletters, right?
Sorry, yes. Emails, newsletters. Thank you. And for me, the other thing has been, you know, how do I balance, like, just when I blog something versus when I send out a newsletter? For me, it's always been the same thing, and it's taken a lot of work for me to separate those two things out. Like, if I'm going to blog something, I don't necessarily have to send it out as a newsletter at the same time. Those are different things. And I know that sounds obvious to you, Serena, but to me, it's a very, those things are so linked back from when I was on, like, Blogger. You know, if you were going to blog something, then that's what you sent to everybody. That's what you did. So yay me, at least, for learning. So,
well, your newsletter is great. And I would just hope that at the bottom of it, you're like, and I wrote a blog post about the following. And yeah, Here is the link.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, what are my calls to action, you know, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. And when we talk about this year's goals, you'll see that this figures bigly into my 2021 goals. But that's it for me. You know, did I do everything I wanted to do? No, but in the end, I sort of got there with the big pieces. So,
yeah, that's, I hit my big goals, and that has very much influenced what goals I'm setting this year. My big goals for the year were to finish book two and market book two. And I did both of those things, and I actually sold book two. And to start book three. And I did all of those things. Then I had an assortment of miscellaneous other goals around things like essays and promotion and the podcast and some other projects that I have. And then I had a list of 20 things I was going to do in 2020 that ranged from organize the garage, which I actually did, to knit a specific sweater, which I did not, to have a big party, ha ha ha. there were miscellaneous things. And a careful and thoughtful review of those goals reveals that there were like 16 things that I really didn't want to do on there. I'm just not going to do that this year. So anyway, like that, some of them didn't happen because we couldn't throw a big party, but I just didn't really want to knit that sweater. You know, I didn't really want to organize all my paper. I'd like for my paper to be organized, but I didn't really want to actually do it. Maybe someday I will. There were a lot of things on there that I did not want to do.
It's funny you should say the word organize, KJ, because my 2021 goals actually do include my word of the year for 2021, if we're going to go there already. Not
go,
yet.
Go, go,
go.
Go
right in.
Is organize. And I don't mean that like I'm going to go, you know, edit my house or whatever that show is. I have learned so much from book one and book two in terms of organizing my research, but I could do better. I have learned a lot from Serena about organizing how I do my newsletters, but I can do better. And so for me, and Serena's done so much talking this past year about how all of the pre-writing she does and all the pre-planning really pays off. And so I'm trying to do a little bit more of that myself and see if I can there's this anxiety thing that happens to me when I'm done with a manuscript, thinking, oh my gosh, did anything fall through the cracks? What did I miss? Is there something that should have had a footnote on it that didn't? Is there a study I completely forgot about that I wanted to include? So this year, going in, my word is organized, because I think it has to do with my process, my thoughts, and my time. Being home with everyone has made it really clear how important it is for us all to put our work away in the evening from time to time and you know, really spend time together instead of that thing that KJ and I have talked about where you're only kind of half there because everyone's... So organizing my time and my process and my thoughts, that's the theme for me for this coming year. Am I doing my actual goals too?
Well, I didn't. So my word for last year was magic.
Yeah.
Which was partly because I wanted to let my books be a little more magical, and I definitely, book three has got some wild and crazy stuff, so there's that. And it was also just me thinking about wanting to make room for what I was calling magic to happen, to make room for good things, to, you know, for those moments when everything comes together and your family is doing something great or your, you know, things are going right. I just wanted to make a little more space for change in a good way. We had a lot of change. I definitely feel like I had a magical year. I mean, amazing things happened for me. You know, Reese Witherspoon, the bestseller list. I can't, not only could I not complain, I can hardly even talk about like how, you know, happy and wonderful it was to have my launch go the way that it did. So I almost feel like I want to make magic my word every year if I'm going to get this out of it.
Right. Well, from my perspective, I saw you drawing a lot of fun things this year, obviously a lot of chickens, but I saw, you know, I know that you're happy when you get to draw a lot of things and you get time to do that sort of stuff. And I got to see, you know, that popped up in texts more often this year. So for me, I thought that was part of your magic this year too.
Yeah, just making room. Yep. I guess I'm doing something a little similar.
KJ, what's your new word?
My new word is so lame because it's such a like common, like it's everybody's word.
That's
but
not
my
the word
this year. Yes, lame. No.
I'm taking notes here. I've got organized. I've got lame. And
My word is flow because I'm going to. Both, I would like to be in it, but primarily it's more because I would like to go with it more. And I actually have only two goals on my list next year, and they are finish the draft of the next one, and that's it. I'm not making a long list of 20 things I want to do. I didn't make a bunch of things around the podcast. I didn't make a bunch of goals about essays or promotion or my email or anything, because I just feel like I got really wound up in those at the end of this year, and it got really hard to even figure out what I would do if I did whatever I wanted to do. And so I would like to spend some time just figuring out, you know, I mean, things are good. I'm in a good place. What do I actually want out of this? Like, what do I want to be doing? So that's it. Two goals.
I find that fascinating that your word is flow and my word is organized, because mine, since you went ahead and talked about your goals, I guess I'll back up and do mine really quickly, mainly because mine are such process-oriented goals. As everyone knows, as I've said a bajillion times, this book is coming out, The Addiction Inoculation comes out in April, and I am submitting a proposal for a new book as well. So that requires me to really organize my time and figure out what's going where. So I did something that I've seen Serena do in the past, Miss Organization over there. I actually took a look at the beginning of the planner that we like. They have sort of a whole year layout thing, and I laid out my year. So my goals are full proposal to our agent by the 4th of January. And then hopefully that'll go on. And I sort of gave a cushion of time for this, you know, go back and forth and what do we like and what don't we like. And I was saying, okay, well, hopefully we'll sell that book by like, you know, March 15th-ish kind of thing, which means that if I set the due date for that book for a year later, then what does my year have to look like? And I need to set aside all of January and February for excerpts. So my goals are get new book proposal done, you know, get that out. I can't put down sell new book because that's not entirely under my control, but put all the effort required in to hopefully get that done by the end of the first quarter of the year. January and February have to be for excerpts and PR. They just have to be. And so that's, and so that means giving myself a break and changing what stickers mean for January and February. And that's cool since I love doing the PR stuff. And then we're looking at launch time, and that sort of takes care of itself because it's busy and tying up all the loose ends and stuff. And then summer, what's going to happen that's going to be interesting is at a certain point, I don't know exactly what the end of the year will look like, depending on what happens with COVID and vaccinations and how that goes. I mean, are in-person speaking events coming back? Because if they are and they can come back in the fall, then I have a whole bunch of dates that need to be rescheduled. So we'll see what happens then. But my big goal for the year really has to do with at the end, after sort of like, here are the very specific things I'm doing at the beginning of the year. One is just to be proactive about what I did with Gift of Failure for this new book, you know, planning my PR, planning the marketing, continued efforts to reach out to new audiences, which means writing new speaking event, little here's what Jess can do, writing all those new things, cleaning up my speaking agency website. So all of my stuff, it's not a really sexy calendar for next year. It's just a very process-oriented, be on top of your time and don't lose track of the blocks that you have available to you because there's a lot to get done this year. But all fun stuff too.
Yay.
That's me. Yeah.
Well, my new word for 2021 is a bit of an extension of last year, and that word is generous. And nice. When I think about generous, I don't mean answer every stupid email. I mean to
when are you going to write your next one?
I remember that when I forget to be afraid and I give more of myself either to the book that I'm writing or to other authors in my circle and I put myself out there, you know, that's when all the magic happens. So that's what I mean by generous. But I also have two little mini shout outs on this same page under my word, which is two things that I'm going to remember in 2021. The first one is we don't ask permission. Pretty much all...
I'm going to applaud gently into the microphone because I love that.
That's excellent. I love it too.
So some of the things that went wrong for me in 2020 were places where I had like lined myself up to be in a permission asking spot and it didn't work out. So, you know, the places where I did just take a risk and not ask permission pretty much turned out to work well. And also under that, I wrote, I write what I want. And when I wrote that, it means, again, not asking for permission. So probably not writing a manuscript that requires someone else's approval for it to come into the world. But also, even just on a granular level, to try to close off the reader voices in my head. Like I actually have too much feedback at this point. Mm-hmm. And I can hear reader reactions to things, even when I'm working on a chapter. And I need to just stop that because it puts me in like a sclerotic place where I can't move forward because I'm too concerned about like, did I write this before? Did I say that? Is somebody going to get mad? You know, and I need to stop doing that. So I need to be generous with myself as well as others. I need to write what I want and not ask permission. And I really feel that those are short but enduring things that will see me through 2021. And the other thing about my goals this year is that they are really similar to last year's. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that I didn't accomplish my goals last year. It means that I'm in a good place of recognizing that the way that I pace myself and the things that I demand of myself are good. And if I were to have finished 8 things instead of 4 things, like that wouldn't be a good plan for me. That would be a disaster. So again, I have finished 4 things and write a proposal, which I mean to myself, like to figure out, do I want to write this off-brand thing or... But the truth is I might not finish 4 things this year. It could be 3. You know, we'll see. I front loaded my work schedule just the same way you were describing. Like maybe I don't want to be home in the fall. Maybe I need to go somewhere exciting. And then I just took the under my goals last year, I had elaborated on the healthy ways that I was going to get there. And I even made that more granular this time. Like every month, it's not just exercise more. It's like, what is the monthly exercise goal here? Like go cross country skiing 10 times. You know, I've got two for this week, so I'm feeling pretty good about that already. But just to, when I'm granular about my goals month by month, it's more exciting and more energizing, and it makes me more willing to go there. Mm-hmm. And then I have a block here for a writing process that works for me, where I'm reminding myself what those things are that help me get the words on the page in an orderly way. To use story grids and outlining and set aside the marketing time instead of letting it suck me in from 8 a.m. And just ways that I've elaborated my goals again, and to really be comfortable with the fact that it's perfectly wonderful to have goals for 2021 that look like 2020s, because 2020 was a pretty good year.
It was. 2020, everyone likes to grail on about how horrible the year has been and how dark and horrible. And it has. It's been a sad, lonely, I miss you guys terribly. I miss my family terribly, you know, all that sort of stuff. But for the reclusive people among us, stuff got done.
Stuff got done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't complain. It was a It was a terrible year. It was a wonderful year. Yeah. It was all the things. So I'm showing, because we're on Zoom, I'm showing you guys.
Oh,
page.
It's so pretty. I won't show you mine yet because it scribbles, because I haven't made
it's
my pretty
stamps.
Version.
Woohoo. So I have a little slogan too, Serena.
Okay.
Mine is one thing at a time. Because
that's good.
So the fact that Chicken Sisters got postponed from June to December did a lot of things for me, among which was it bought me time. The book two is drafted, it's bought, it's unfortunately in a very heavy edit right now, heavier than I think that I thought it was going to be, but unnecessary. Like I'm happy to be doing it. So the fact that I'm doing that, and that will take the time it will take, and there is no making it happen faster, and there just isn't. And then book three is still kind of a chaotic set. Like I can just look at that and know getting that fully drafted this year, that's it. But I don't have to do that any faster because book two is not coming out any sooner than maybe this time mm-hmm. next year and probably spring 2022. So then I don't want book three out in the world for yet another. So I have breathing time here. That's part of why I didn't really set a lot of different goals, because I can, as long as I make these important things happen, this is like a really good moment mm-hmm. to figure out what the other things might look
like. Yeah, absolutely. What's been interesting, I've never had the setup that I have this year where my brain needs to be very deeply into two different subjects at the same time, because I'll be writing one and promoting the other, and they're two very different subjects. I still can't talk about the third book, but the second book, you know, substance abuse involves, and the way I like to be on top of a subject is by knowing all the statistics and all the facts and figures, and that's a lot of stuff to keep shoved in my head while I'm trying to stay on top, learn a whole new subject on top of that. So that'll be interesting. I did have one other thing on my goals for this year, and I didn't leave it in because I wasn't sure. I didn't want to put the pressure on myself, but I am in the middle of an inside outline for a novel that I'm actually really, really excited about. And I'm having issues with one aspect of it, which is like the tension between two characters and Serena. And hopefully you two, KJ, can talk me through some of that. So I'm putting it back on my goals, but not necessarily to finish anything, but to continue learning about that process. Because this writing fiction thing is so foreign to me, and, you know, plotting and figuring out what goes where and doing this whole inside outline. And Jenny has offered to look at it, and that this is all completely new to me. So instead of treating it like a goal to be fulfilled for me, it's an ongoing process oriented thing where I'm just going to continue to learn and see how that goes. And I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's flow for me. Like, I have a whole list of my thing. It's called things to do instead of looking at your phone, because
yeah.
It has been a really phony couple of months around around the Del Antonio sofa. And so I have a list of those things. And that's, I want to leave space to keep exploring those things. And then, you know, maybe next year I will have some goals around them. It just depends.
Yeah, I actually just, well, first of all, you're going to be very proud of me because I'm working on a knitting thing right now where I am knitting and purling in the same piece of knitting. I know, it's so exciting. But I did note that you can't.
Crazy out there.
No. Here's how bad I am. How just, it's so difficult for me spatially. Spatial things are just so hard for me. And I actually didn't realize how different the knitting looks on one side versus the other. So I didn't know when I had last purled and then last knit. So I screwed it up twice now and I've had to unravel it. And then I realized, oh, you can tell just by looking at the knitting which one you're supposed to be doing.
That's so, okay. Yeah. That takes time. That really does. It totally, totally takes time.
But whenever someone asks what I'm knitting, my answer is always rectangles because that's all I know how to do. So, but I am, I do want to learn how to knit a hat. I want to be able to knit hats. So that's my the flow piece there.
Hats are highly
You know, I don't think I knew this about you, Jess, or I would have sent you some circular needles for Christmas. I mean,
I own them. Okay. No, okay. I own all the circles. I have beautiful yarn and lots of it. I'm just really bad at it. And it turns out that I just really love the process of watching it get bigger. And I don't actually care that much what the end product ends up being.
All right.
I like the process. And I can't look at my phone while I'm doing it.
I like the result. Yes. I don't get a lot of knitting done when there isn't children's sports to watch.
Yeah.
So that's probably part of the reason for the failure of those particular goals. But I think the other reason is that those don't need to be goals. Who the heck cares?
Yeah.
fine, whatever, you know, knit the thing that seems interesting to knit and move on with it. There are no gold stars in knitting.
Do we want to take a quick break before we talk about what we've been reading?
Excellent plan.
Hey, Jess here. If you've been listening to the hashtag AmWriting podcast for any length of time, you know I am a big dork when it comes to learning. I love it. So when the Great Courses Plus came to us and said, would you like to work together? I was over the moon. I have been a customer for literally decades. The Great Courses Plus is an opportunity to learn about pretty much anything you want. Seriously, thousands of video and audio courses from top experts in their field, anything from learning how to build a financial plan to controlling your stress to living sustainably to playing guitar or what I have been doing, which is learning animal tracking. One course I really enjoyed this week is with Joyce Maynard called Writing Your Story. She has a fantastic lecture in there specifically called The Honesty Question that you're going to want to check out. So if you go to thegreatcoursesplus.com/amwriting, you can get a month access for free. thegreatcoursesplus.com/amwriting. Okay, what has everyone been reading? I actually have something really good. It's a podcast, though. I have been listening to, I can't even remember where I discovered this. It is a podcast, an Audible original podcast called Come Out, Come Out, and it's by Mo Welsh, who is a comedian. It's a podcast about coming out of the closet, and it is hysterical. And I originally went in because there's an episode with Roxane Gay at the end, and her wife, Debbie Millman, is episode 9. But this person, Mo Welsh, who I'd never heard of, has a whole, because she was a part of, so she's a part of the comedy scene. Most of her friends are ridiculously funny and also in the comedy scene. So if you want to listen to 10 different stories of how they came out and discovered who they are and who they love and all of that sort of stuff, I recommend the podcast Come Out, Come Out. It's been just delightful. And I can't remember, did I mention the Search and Rescue Dog book that I've been listening to? Okay, so there is a book by Susanna Charlson. Charlson. Yep, that's her name. And it is called Scent of the Missing. And KJ, I think you'd really like it because she had been a search and rescue person. She, I think, doing flight search and rescue. But she had come to really enjoy watching the dogs work. And so she decided to go ahead and get her own dog. It was a long process of getting just the right dog. Temperament has to be just right for this. And she ended up with a golden retriever puppy named Puzzle. And it's about the process of training a search and rescue dog. And it's fascinating. It's a really cool listen. It's a, you know, I think I got it because it was, you know, like in the Audible Plus catalog or something like that. So it was free for me. And I am enjoying it terribly. I really, really love it. Scent of the Missing by Susanna Charlson, Charlson.
Well, I have been reading something along those lines, which is Inside of a Dog. I don't remember.
Oh, I read that. I love that
name.
One.
Yeah, it's been out for a long time. At some point, I know, when my partner and I were driving back from dropping our son off at college, we listened to a podcast that had the author on it, and I thought, oh, you know, I've sort of always vaguely meant to read that. So I have been reading that and loving it, and then I've been dipping out of the sort of year-end style books like, you know, Gretchen Rubin's Better Than Before, Cal Newport's Deep Work, trying out a new one, Olga Mecking's The Danish Art of Doing Nothing, which is amusing on lots of levels, and that kind of thing. Oh, and I read Ree Drummond's Frontier Follies, which is if you're a fan of hers, it's a fun, quick, entertaining read, and I am a fan of hers, and I had a good time with it. I wish she had said more about doing her show. Like, I really wanted to hear the background. Not surprisingly, I really wanted to hear the, like, nitty-gritty of how they do that, but yeah. She doesn't really get into it. It's really about her life, but it's still fun.
Cool. Serena?
Well, I think Jess should know that there is a fun Nora Roberts novel called The Search about search and rescue dogs.
Yeah, I have never read Nora Roberts. So I may have to rectify that situation, especially since she's been so entertaining this year in terms of her response to people who come at her with criticisms and all kinds of stuff. So I will put that on my to-read list.
Yep, The Search by Nora Roberts. She gives good internet. You're right. I also think that this is a perfect moment in the year to reread Dave Barry's The Shepherd, the Angel, and Walter, the Christmas Miracle Dog, which is a funny, very short Dave Barry novel that not only would adults enjoy, but also snarky teenagers.
Okay.
And finally, I am reading Blindsided by Victoria Dino, which I have to tell you is the first novel that will come out from my new imprint in 2021. And I asked her, as the book one of this new series, to write a hate to love trope novel for this hockey player and his neighbor. And they're both from farming families, but the farmers have had a feud. And the tagline is like, what if Romeo wore hockey skates and Juliet grew up on the farm next door? It's like Romeo and Juliet without the death. And
oh, that's awesome.
It is
I like
so
it.
Funny. You know, you hope when you start a project and you have a concept that it's like a good one, but she just killed it. It's so good. And I feel such a lift reading this book. And I'm so proud to publish it. That
I think we need to tell readers or listeners a little bit about what the imprint is for two reasons. First, so they'll know because they're going to be curious. And second, so they don't call you up and be like, hey, you want to publish my book? Because that's not exactly what you're doing. It's more of a global Serena Bowen's World imprint.
That's right. Well, I have a long running series. This year I'm going to write book 8. And it's called the True North series, and it takes place in a few locations in Vermont. And so during the pandemic, when I was thinking abundant, generous thoughts about, you know, what to do next, or I lost my mind, it's one of those, I started a new LLC to publish books that are written by people who are not me, that take place in this world. And there are 4 little series that came out of that. So the first one is going to be the Mu Yu hockey series, because Mu Yu is a college that comes up in the, it's basically like a fictionalized University of Vermont. So there's going to be several books in this series that follow that hockey team. And Blindsided is the first one. And then there's three more other mini series. One takes place around the coffee shop that's been part of the series for a long time. And there's one that takes place in a brew pub and another in a bookstore. And I've just had such a lovely time reading proposals from my peers and discussing plot lines with them. And one of the people that I hired as a contractor to work with me on this is, you know, a partner in the process. And it's just been fascinating to be on the other side of the publishing spectrum for once. And I'm so excited to publish these novels. But I'm also a perfectionist, so I'm basically terrified that, you know, that it won't go well for no particular reason. And, you know, I don't know, that I'll feel bad about it.
At some point, we'll have to go into some more depth about how it works. But I'm excited to see how this rolls out. I'm excited to see what they look like and to read them. It's very exciting.
Thank you.
It really is. I love, I'm terrified that I'll feel bad about it, because that's like exactly the emotion that my whole goal sheet this year was designed to get me out of. Yeah. Like, I just feel like, and maybe it's 2021, but so much of this year, I just woke up feeling bad. Not this month, obviously. This month has been great, right? Like, no complaints. But before that, just so, I would just wake up, I would sort of wander through the day going, why am I feeling bad? Who do I think is mad at me? Why do I feel like I am disappointed in myself? What have I failed to do that is causing me to feel these emotions? And that's what I want to find a way to get out of. Like, why do I always feel that way? It is ridiculous. I am, you know, an old grown-up person with successful career stuff and don't need to be beating myself up over stuff I'm not even sure whose voices those are in my head, but I want to get them out.
Good. I think that's healthy. I think that's a really good thing. I find one of the things that I was thinking when you talked about flow, one of the things that I realized during this pandemic are the things that really truly make me happy, like on a very, very deep level, versus the prestige things, the shiny objects. And the things that made me happy during this pandemic, you know, came down to really simple things, that I'm a better, kinder, more generous, more patient person when I give myself over to them, like the gardening and the being outside and stuff like that. So this year gets some room for that.
Yeah. Yeah. The shiny objects were awesome. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This month, I am all about the shiny objects. I've got all the shiny objects, and they are indeed making me happy. Let no one tell you.
You're allowed
that,
to.
Having Reese Witherspoon pick your book or making the bestseller list. They presumably would not make you happy, you know, under circumstances of otherwise.
I meant shiny objects
disaster,
like,
but
I meant that trap I fall into of, you know, someone joked on Twitter, I think it was Liz Lenz maybe even joked on Twitter this week, that the second you hand in an assignment, you're like, okay, what have I done now? What's next? What's the next article?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. That's what I'm talking about. Like, why haven't I published anything in the last month? Whatever. That kind of
10
thing.
Minutes. Exactly.
All right. I think we covered it all. And at some point, I'm going to have to make my goals look pretty, and that's going to be fun. I'll do that probably this evening while we're all sitting around watching a movie together. I'll pull out my beautiful erasable pens that Serena gave me and make some pretty goals in my journal. Everyone good?
Everybody's good.
Everyone's good. Okay. All right. Until next week, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Thank you.